Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast, hosted by Taylor.
Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Guillaume Tersinier from Valin Tersinier. How are you doing today, Guillaume?
Hello, very well. Thank you. And you?
All is well here. Thank you. So for our listeners, can you tell us who you are and what you do at Valin Tersinier?
So I am, as you said, Guillaume Tersinier, the sixth generation of the cognac house of Valin Tersinier. I work a lot with the cellar master with the aim of amassing as much of his knowledge as possible, especially in terms of his work in the eau de vie and tastings. And it's been 5 years now that I've been working with him and also taking over the company. So on the management side, the company that was owned until now by my aunt, Catherine.
Okay, so we can say that this is purely a family business.
Yes, 100% family owned and entirely owned by the family since 1850.
So you mentioned a second ago that you spend a lot of time with the cellar master. So does that mean that in the short term or even the medium term and in the future, you're going to become the cellar master one day?
Absolutely. It's one of the goals I've set for myself. Well, already because it's something that has fascinated me for a very long time. And it's really, really fascinating, that profession. And indeed, it's the future. It's taking its path. However, it's a very long-term job. So I've been working with him for a little over 5 years now. To really have the skills of a cellar master of a beautiful cognac house, it's something that you can take 10 years, approximately.
I'll have plenty of other questions about all that, but before we get to those, can you tell us what cognac we're tasting today?
So today we're going to taste a cognac, a cask strength, single cask cognac. It's a Fambourg cognac from the Fambourg area or Fambourg Cru. And it's a lot 96 and it was bottled in 2021.
So I want to come back to this topic of being a cellar master. You mentioned that you've been following the current cellar master, watching what he does, learning as much as you can like a sponge. These past 5 years, what are some of the things that you have learned over the past 5 years training, essentially, to be a cellar master?
So what I've learned, the majority of the time, it's really around the tasting, but also working on the eau de vie itself as well, of course. The amount of work, most of it is around the tasting, especially developing the nose. We work a lot on our nose. So every day with the cellar master, we taste every day and we force ourselves to taste every day, even if it's not always a great pleasure. But because it's also the daily work of one's nose that allows one to develop it and to amass as much tasting capacity over time. And so we work a lot on that. And then after, indeed, there's a big part addressing the eau de vie itself, the work of regarding the eau de vie in relation to the cellar, the aging, and the distillation, obviously, as well.
So can you then explain, what's a typical day like for a cellar master? In other words, what does a cellar master do on a normal day from 9 to 5, let's say?
There's not a day that resembles the other day. There's not really a day that's the same because a cellar master in cognac house of the size of Valin Tersinier is going to be both. So I talked about this tasting from that side, really, that we imagine of the cellar master the house to work his nose, to work on his nose, develop the nose. But it's also a lot of work in practice. Because with us, the cellar master does the coupe, the cuts himself. That work is consistent. So the job of a cellar master consists of tasting, finding and selecting the eau de vie we have in the cellar, looking at the aging, for each of them, what would suit them as a type of aging, should they be blended or not, and then after all the more technical part, where we have to go into the cellar, pump the barrels, reduce them a little because we work on the reduction over a very long time. For the other eau de vie, then, and that are reduced. Unlike the Farnborough 96 that we'll test later and come back to it later. So that's very, very long work and a bit of the daily work because we have a lot of different lots, different casks, different barrels. We work a lot with different crew, a lot of different yields and a lot of different styles. That with a lot of small volumes too. So it's a lot of cognac from one barrel, maybe two or three, that makes a lot of cognac to take care of. And also taking samples of different barrels and the lots. This kind of is a rough overview of a big part, a big chunk of the what a day looks like for me. But there's a lot to do and also a lot of time spent in creation too, you know. We work on liqueur and pinot. There's also aging to be considered for those, blending with the same barrels, other barrels, then the finishing, a variety of studies that lead to the final product in the bottle and everything around that.
Really lots of stuff to do, and it sounds like a lot of time in the Chai. So if I understood correctly, at Valentin-Signet, you have 25 hectares of vines, is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
And so each year after the harvest and the distillation, is all of that spirit from the 25 hectares of vines kept by Valentin-Signet? Or is some of it actually sold to the big houses?
So we have around 25 hectares of wines, which are worked by my two brothers, one of my older brothers and one of my younger brothers. It's balanced. We are in two crews. We have Farnborough and Bonbois. And indeed, on a part of the property, a part is resold. Part of the production is resold, not to the big houses, but it's sold with partners with whom my brother and then my father before have been working for years. They are great people to work with because we wouldn't necessarily be able to sell the entire production we made. And it's also allowing us to select only the best quality eau de vie to put in our bottles under the name of Valentin-Signet. And not to be obliged to bottle or age eau de vie that would come from the property, but that we don't necessarily like because 1 year was a little bit less good. This gives us the choice to really want to put excellent cognac in our bottles for the brand of Valentin-Signet.
And in the cellar today at Valentin-Signet, you have lots of barrels and demijohns with your own eau de vie, but also occasionally when you find small lots here and there, you will acquire those. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we work with all the crew of cognac. So for the property, it's Farnborough and Bonbois, because we have them just around our property. And then we also look for eau de vie from Grand Champagne, Petit Champagne, Bordeaux, even Bois Ordinaire, sometimes from other wine growers. We have working habits for the crews we can't exploit ourselves, which have been done for several generations. My grandfather already worked with some houses, well, some wine growers, where the generations have followed one another. And their good relations have continued because they are wine growers, those quality we know exactly. So we appreciate what they do and it allows us to have a quality of cognac that suits us and that is close to the way Valentin-Signet does things with Farnborough and Bonbois. So we work with a few wine growers for the other crews. And this allows us to have the most complete possible range for tasting because we're looking for... What we're looking for is also balance, complexity, and a little bit of innovation and tasting. So having only two crews directly next to our property limits us a little bit on that. That's why I work with all the crews of cognac. Each one has their own typicity, their own style, and that's precisely what we like in the work of the six crew of cognac.
Okay, so basically these vignerons and these distillers, occasionally when they have a couple small lots available, one, two, three barrels, they could propose it to you. And if it's interesting, you can bring it into your cellar, right?
Exactly, it can work like that too. We do a lot of aging ourselves, meaning we can collect the eau de vie just after distillation. If the wine grower distills in a way that suits us, we collect that eau de vie right after the distillation and age it ourselves. But indeed, if these same wine growers have a small lot of cognac that we really like, but it's already aged, we can work together on this kind of thing.
And so if you receive a sample, or if you're visiting some chai in the region, looking for these small sort of hidden lots of cognac, what's the thing about the cognac that makes you say, like, yes, I need this cognac, I want this cognac to go into our cellar?
It's something quite instinctive. It's what comes to us. Sometimes we taste eau de vie where we really have a kind of love at first sight, or at least no hesitation, and right away we say, that's it, it's excellent, it's really what we like. There's something that's in the nose but also alive in the body, and that comes out in appreciation of a product at the moment when we say, wow, that's great. And often it's a bit of love at first sight that comes to us. And we try to feel, to taste it with several people. That means it's not individual. If we feel that we weren't the only one to receive this little touch of magic than tasting a cognac, then it's often like that's how we select them, because tasting reminds something very personal. So we are happy to do it with my aunt Catherine, who also tastes very well. She has a great palate. The cellar master of the house, myself, and some family members. We get together to confirm this tasting, and there's nice lots.
Everyone's involved, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. We often meet as a family, so it's always nice moments to share together.
Before we launch into all sorts of discussion and a tasting of this 1996, this Lot 96 Fambois, can you say a few words about the current cellar master? A lot of times we talk about the cellar master, but we don't even know his name. Say anything you would. We would like to about the cellar master, please.
So the current cellar master of the house Bella Tersigny is Foucault de Mondit, who has been with us for about 30 years, who is on the same generation as Catherine Tersigny, who bequeathed the company to me, with whom I'm still working. And so it's someone who was trained by the former cellar master and then by my grandfather, and who is very passionate about his work. He hasn't necessarily planned to stop right away, which is really great for me, since I like and enjoy working with him. And then for the whole team at Bella Tersigny, because he's a key piece of the company, you know, like all the people who work with us, but he really enjoys sharing. He wants to give. He gives a lot. He lives his passion, who is really someone from the area, if you can say that, who really lives for his profession. And then not only for that, obviously, but who lives it with passion and who transmits it very well.
And if we speak about you a little bit, I suppose that you're an amateur of other spirit categories. So I want to know, like, if you are tasting some other spirit, whether it be a cognac or an Armagnac or a whiskey, how does that impact or change your perspective on how you look at and work with cognac?
So not necessarily the way of working as such, like changes the tasting, I would say rather because we have a very close vision of what a cognac should be. And precisely, we who like the Fambois, and especially the old Fambois, it's eau de vie that quite easily resembles some old rums. And so it's a result, the more we talk and taste with rum enthusiasts, the more we realize that, in fact, the flaws of one at time can be the qualities of the others, and even the opening on some aromatic panel can completely be different, or even at times, just in tasting, we find words that come out more from the vocabulary from rum enthusiasts, and we reuse them in cognac. So it can be quite funny, and indeed, it impacts, because already there's an opening of the mind that happens, and more knowledge, and it's true that these are products that are from different origins. They are really different, with different methods, from completely different geographic areas, but we find certain links, and it's a pleasure to find ourselves with different enthusiasts to talk about products that at times are opposite, but times are so close.
Excellent. So let's switch back over to Valentin Signet, the brand, the house. Can you explain the range that exists today?
So the ranges are roughly divided into two ranges, two sides. Mainly, there's the traditional blending range and then the cask strength part. On the traditional blends, we work on aging in cask, and so about 350, 400 liters. And then once we believe that the eau de vie have reached an aging that pleases us, where they are really finished, we blend them in large barrels. The large volume barrels where we let the blends age, and then we start to study a little bit more about the blending technique, the technique of tasting blends, and to find it if it lacks a little the floral side or a little fruity side. Another eau de vie that would go well blended with it, with all that, so from the very special, the VS. So the youngest cognac, which are eau de vie from 3 to 5 years, or hors d'âge, which are eau de vie from 50 to 60 or even more. And yeah, of course, we work the same way all our blends, and it allows us to have quality over time. More complex aromatically, then more melted without floating taste, for example, or anything, even though it's at 40 degrees. Those are very beautiful blends. And then there's the cask strength part, where there we are more on selections of cars, of individual cars. We look for a particular identity. We look for something that appeals to us, that excites us in tasting, that surprises us, that we like very much, and that we would find it a pity to blend with other eau de vie. So we rather try to bottle it directly. So with that one, we work it very little or not at all. And we put it directly into the bottle, so from the cask directly to the bottle. And so that's really the two types of cognac that we have, that we offer. And then after, we offer two other cognacs. One that we talked about last year, which is a small blend of two other eau de vie, which is designed when we talked about other spirits to our whiskey enthusiasts. And then there's the XO Roots, which is a very gourmand XO. So with all the cru of cognac, where we look rather for something very round, very gourmand, which would be very well consumed as an aperitif. Especially if it's an eau de vie of about 15 years, you must not refrain from tasting the aperitif, cognac as an aperitif.
I completely agree with you. Could not agree more. Now about this Lot 96 Flambois, can you explain, give any details about this cognac?
For the Lot 96, we are on Flambois, so these eau de vie from our property that we planted, that we harvested and aged by ourselves, done by my brother. So the 96 is a bit particular of the Flambois. It's Flambois in general are aging a little bit faster than other eau de vie from other cru. And so consequently, the Lot 96 has about 20 years, which are already very, very finished, very, very complex for that kind of age. They have a slight, quite fine ratios, for example, which in fact have characteristics almost of an old eau de vie of 40, 50 years. And there it's our Flambois that is rather on clay limestone and which are a little bit on the hillside too. So it gives it typically a little bit of a very particular thing that we find a little bit in the tasting of the cask strength Flambois. It's signed, so a little on the fruity side, exotic fruit. It's gourmand, in fact. And so it's a little bit the typicity of the Flambois there. And there you go.
And during the distillation process, was this particular cognac distilled with the lees or without the lees?
It's with the lees, with a little bit of lees on it.
And did this cognac spend any time in new oak?
Of time, we always do a little bit of new wood at the beginning. Indeed, it gives it some aromatics that we don't necessarily have naturally in the eau de vie. So for the majority of our cognacs, we always do a start in new cask.
And generally speaking, how much time in the new oak? 6 months, 1 year?
It can range from 4 to 6 months, depending on what we want. And then depending on if the casks are very new or if they've already been used, let's say more or less. That's the defining criteria.
And in terms of the barrels, can you say a few words about the barrels that you particularly like to use at Valentin Tessinier?
We try to find a balance, so we do some. We try to select casks with medium heating, not too strong and not too big in sizes. We've done several tests of different cask sizes, and it's true that so for both the smaller 280-liter cask and then the larger 500-liter cask, it's true that there we find that the cask around 350 liters it corresponds better to what we want and what we're looking for. For the aromas and gives it both spicy and vanilla. That's what we want. And there you go. So we try a little bit to play on that depending on also the eau de vie which are in there.
And in the cellar, is this a dry cellar, humid cellar, or somewhere in between?
We have a little cellar which is called the Paradis, the Chez Paradis. Our paradise cellar, which is very humid, which is very good for old eau de vie, which require a bit of aging time. And on this fin bois, it's an eau de vie that is stored in one of my brother's cellars, which is not true that it is indeed between dry and humid. It's rather, I would say, rather humid, but there isn't this concentration of humidity over the winter that there can be in some cellars. So it's a good balance between the two of them.
And are there ever times where you would move a barrel from one shade to another? Or generally, do they just stay their whole life in the original cellar that they started aging in?
Yes, indeed. It can happen to us. We move them. So that's why we follow the eau de vie very regularly. At least to taste them once a year to precisely try to follow and know how it develops and to estimate if it needs to pass in a different cellar, from a humid to dry or the other way around, for example. And we try to manage that before it's too late.
Moving on now to a tasting note. Of course, I know this is like a personal thing. It's a little bit subjective, but how would you describe the nose and the palate of this particular cognac?
Absolutely, yeah. So the Lot 96, the first nose, they are rather quite expressive, which will rather be on a fruity, a little candied side, what we often find for Farnborough cognacs of those years. We'll go on something quite canny that will also mix with apricot. There's a little side of also red fruit. Again, apricot, red mixed fruit, which is very, very pleasant to the nose, and gourmand, something like cake, but not English cake, something a bit round, a bit buttery even. Then on the palate, we move to something that's quite greasy. We'll find this buttery aspect again on top, so it's very pleasant. And then we have a little side of, I would say, very slightly spiced, but rather peppery, which brings a little intensity on the palate to the mouth, which allows a good balance between the slightly spicy side and then this little fruity side, but more on the citrus side. So there you have it. Sometimes we have a tasting. It's a good example of the first nose and the palate. It can be different to each other. It's very interesting. And then after that, once the cognac begins to open up, we start to move on to more floral notes, almost like tea, for example, when it's sitting there for a little bit. On things a bit more flowery, a slightly oxidation on top, and then we find a bit of this warm autumn, like when you go outside and have a walk during autumn, those kind of aromas, notes of slightly toasted chestnut. The cognac itself is relatively complex in terms of tasting, because we will be able to move to very cheerful, very fruity things and not just a fine floral side. And to finish on slightly warmer notes, so it's pleasant to take time to taste this cognac, this Farmbois Low 96, and to focus a bit on the tasting and, of course, afterwards to enjoy drinking it with friends and having fun with it.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, this is really a cognac that I appreciate and I like very much. It's extroverted, very aromatic. It's got a really nice texture, but still remains fine. Like so many of the other cognacs at Valin Tercinier. And it's really, really a nice cognac to sip and to chew on a little bit. Well, this has been excellent, Guillaume. Thank you very much for your time, for your thoughtful responses to my questions. I'm really, really happy with this cognac. I think it's a great cognac to sip on, wonderful Farmbois. I'm very happy to have it in the calendar. So again, thank you very much. Happy holidays. And I certainly hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Taylor. Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. Tomorrow is another day, another cognac.